As the fallout from the Congressman Wiener scandal continues, many are left wondering what the political and legal consequences will be for the congressman, if any. People go to jail all the time for lying to the government. But why is it that when a government official lies to the public, there are no legal consequences? Congressman Wiener, of course, blatantly lied to the world over and over again and only confessed the truth when he had no choice. Here to discuss are my freedom fighters, Fox Business contributor, and my colleague Charles Payne, Democratic strategist Tara Dowdell, and Reason Magazine associate editor Peter Suderman. Peter, to you first. Quite the double standard here, no?
You know, I think there is a double standard that's going on. But you asked, you know, the question you asked was, are there consequences here? And of course there are consequences. There are electoral consequences. When Anthony Weiner is up for a vote again, his constituents will be the ones to decide whether this severe lapse in judgment on his part, you know, actually makes him unable to represent their interests anymore. And I think it should be the constituents who end up making this decision.
Do the Democrats suffer as a party in the Congress while this Congressman Wiener scandal festers? Or do they want him gone so that they can get back to the business of taxing us to death or borrowing us into oblivion?
Well, I don't think they're taxing anybody to death. But, Judge, to your point, certainly this is not helpful to the Democratic Party for Congressman Wiener to get entangled in this kind of scandal. It's a distraction. And as you know, when you talk about on this show, there are a lot of important issues, a lot of topics, a lot of problems and challenges that we need to address. And this is a distraction.
Charles, we know him. We've interviewed him. We see him in the hallways of Fox. He is tenacious, brilliant, relentless, irritable, and smart. Do the Democrats still want him on the floor in the vanguard of their fight to plan the economy from Washington?
I would think absolutely not at this point. And, you know, whether or not he's reelected by his constituents might be more of an indictment on the American people than anything else, because we've seen other rogue characters reelected before. But here's a guy, to your point, who lied. And then on top of it, you know, his press conference was so terrible, I didn't think he was contrite, and he threw his wife under the bus. I mean, this guy is a despicable character at this point.
Talk about the laws to me for a minute, Peter. Remember the Martha Stewart situation? She was having an off-the-record conversation with an FBI agent. She said to him, or her lawyer said to the FBI agent, is Ms. Stewart a target of your investigation? The FBI agent said, no, that was a lie. Then the FBI agent said to Martha Stewart, did you sell such and such a stock on such and such a day? She said, no, that was a lie. He got a promotion, she went to jail. So why is it that lying to the FBI is the crime, but lying to the voters, to the people who give you your job, to the public and to the media is not a crime?
I don't think either of them should be a crime. I mean, you know, I think, Judge, both you and I tend to agree that the government should be punishing people a lot less and should be and should let individuals, let markets, let communities decide how to handle these things rather than sort of decide at the federal level, at the state level, okay, this is a crime and we're going to send you to jail for this.
Right.
You know, two wrongs don't make a right here.
I agree with Peter, Charles.
I disagree because we're talking about not an individual but an elected official, someone that we put our trust in. Maybe I'm old-fashioned, but I believe that elected officials should be higher on a pedestal and above the average quote-unquote individual. There's certain responsibilities that come with that job.
Before we switch gears, will Mrs. Pelosi have his back or the Democrats want him gone? Because I think that the Democratic leadership will decide whether or not he stays. If they tell him to go, he goes. If they tell him to stay, he stays. Wounded, but he stays. What do you think?
Former Speaker Nancy Pelosi actually called for an ethics investigation into the actions.
Well, does she mean it, or is that cover?
No, I think she means it. Once you get that process started, once the dog's out of the gate or the horse is out of the gate on that, when that process starts, it doesn't stop. So this is going to follow through. And I'm of the belief what people do in their personal lives should stay personal. Now, if he did commit a crime or break the law or break ethics rules, then he needs to be punished and held accountable.
You're going to love this next segment because it has to do with taxes. Today, marks the 10th anniversary of the Bush tax cuts. And as our recovery stalls in the here and now, should the White House consider not only extending those tax cuts, but finding other places to cut taxes in order to jumpstart the economy. Charles, I have to start with you on that one.
You gotta keep them in there. Listen, last month we saw a jobs report where big corporations, large corporations, according to ADP, fired 19,000 people. Small businesses hired 27,000 people. They're carrying the entire load. This politics of envy, of jealousy, of divisiveness, all it's going to do is harm the economy.
Don't tell me about millionaires that don't think they're paying enough taxes, because they can write any check they want to the IRS, and the IRS will take it and deposit it.
Well, I would love for them to do that. But here's the reality here. As Charles said, small businesses are the job creators, and the average small business owner does not make $250,000. So what we need to do is prioritize. The Bush tax cuts, we need to let them lapse. All of these millionaires that are coming out saying, we don't mind paying, well, let's let them pay and prioritize the actual job creators, who are the small business owners.
Isn't it a truism, something that cannot be disputed, Peter, that more money in the hands of private investors will produce more jobs and more wealth than if the money were in the hands of government bureaucrats, no matter what the bureaucrats do with it?
Oh, sure. I mean, the private sector is what creates jobs. You look at what the Obama administration, you know, when they brag about the recent recovery, they focus on, you know, the private sector job creation. I don't think it's been nearly as good as the Obama administration wants us to think it is. But that's what the Obama administration tells us, is that it's the private sector that creates jobs. And so that's where you want to leave the money. You know, and I think this whole, the focus on the tax cuts is just the wrong focus. You're not going to be able to fix the long-term debt problem by raising taxes on the rich, by getting rid of the Bush tax cuts at all. You know, you've got to cut spending. You've got to deal with entitlements. Whoa. That's where the action is. And I think the Obama administration just doesn't seem to be interested in doing that. They only want to talk about taxes
got
on
it.
The rich.
Got it. Charles, what do you say to Tara's friends who would basically say the government would save $700 billion if it got rid of the Bush era tax cuts? Does that almost sound as if the money that we earn belongs to the government and they decide how much they'll take and we get to keep?
Very few things piss me off more than the notion that I go to work every day and then the government gets my money. In other words, whatever the government gives me, I should be grateful for, no matter how many hours I work, no matter how hard I work. And not only that, they should take my money and give it to someone who's working less than me. In this country, here's the new mantra. The harder I work, the more I owe society. The less I work, the more society owes me. That means that's a recipe for disaster.
Would you answer that, Tara Dadel, please?
Well, first of all, I think that all of us work hard, even those people that make under $250,000. I mean, if you look at an emergency room nurse, you can't say an emergency room nurse
doesn't work hard. He's complaining about people that are entitlements, that the government pays his tax dollars
well,
to.
The people
that don't work and that claim that they're entitled to that money.
Well, I'm sure they're a sliver of the population that fits that description, but the overwhelming majority of Americans are hard workers, and many of them aren't working and are on entitlement programs because of what happened with the financial crisis. Through no fault of their own, they're now forced to be on entitlements.
We're going to have to leave it at that. Peter Suderman, Tara Dadel, Charles Payne, it's a pleasure. Guys, thanks for joining us.